Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for today's episode, I'm here with Krish and we're going to talk a lot about speech-to-text and a lot of applications regarding generative AI and audio. I think it's going to be super interesting, especially because I'm not an expert on this field, so I think I have a lot to learn. So thanks a lot for coming, Krish. And could you please like give us a background about yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And I'm excited to talk about some of the most cutting edge stuff that's happening in this field and how we're applying it at our own company. So quick background on myself. I'm Krish Rabbanini, co-founder and CEO at Fireflies AI. We build an AI meeting assistant that joins your meetings and takes notes. We've been working on this for a few years now. We really launched during the pandemic in 2020. And things have scaled ever since then. Fireflies is used across tens of thousands of companies. It's the AI note taker that joins your Zoom, WebEx, GoToMeeting, Google Meet, all Microsoft Teams, all your meetings. So that's what we do in a nutshell.
Great. So can you tell us more about Fireflies, what you do, like the problems that you're solving?
For sure. So at Fireflies, our single biggest goal was how do we make meetings more efficient? And how do we remember our meetings? By the time you leave a conversation after having 3-4 back-to-back meetings, you're most likely going to forget what was said. So that was our starting point in terms of how do we make meetings more effective? And then we had this larger belief that there should be this AI assistant in the workplace, just like how you have Alexa or Google Home at home, this voice assistant that's able to help do work for you, whether it's voice or text. The medium doesn't matter as much as, can I have my own personal secretary that's AI powered? So that's where the crux of all of this started. And what we felt was meetings is where we spend about half our time already today at work. And if we can make meetings a little bit more productive, help us remember conversations from meetings, that would be a great starting point. If you bring 5 people into a meeting, right? And the amount of time, money, hours, like what you're paying each person, like a meeting could cost several thousand dollars. It's very expensive. Yeah. So the quality of the meetings is extremely important. And the takeaways from those meetings is equally important. And if you're going to have to forget everything, you know, 2 days after you had the meeting, that's going to be really, really difficult. If you look at email today, right? Imagine if someone told you, you cannot look back at an email you sent yesterday. Once you send an email, you completely cannot look back at what was sent. So we said, let's solve that problem for meetings so that people can have a knowledge base, a searchable engine that they can go to and look back at conversations. So for example, if we spoke 6 months ago or even 3 years ago, I can go back and review that meeting, search through it, listen to it, read the summary that Fireflies wrote up, all of that to help me get up to speed. In fact, I was on a vendor call some time back and I was meeting with that vendor and evaluating their product almost 2 years after we had the first conversation. I could quickly go back and know exactly where we left off. And once that conversation started, it was way more productive and we got the desired result and we closed the deal that we wanted to do because I was able to recall my memory, right? So that's just a quick example of what it is like if you have all of this data and how you can go back and search through it. So yeah, that's a nutshell what we do. Obviously, we do a lot more for different use cases as well. So if you're in sales, Fireflies will go into your CRM and fill out the call notes afterwards. If you are in any of these other fields like project management, product management, you can say things on a call and trigger action items or trigger tasks that get filled up into Asana or ClickUp or other products. So for us, it's about how can I get work done with just the sound of my voice, right?
Yeah. So if we can go deep into the application, like I imagine that first of all, you do a transcription of the meeting, right? So it's like a speech to text problem. So after you do this transcription, how do you bring insights from the text? Because raw text, you cannot have much from it. But I imagine that you process this text like summarization of or named entity recognition. Can you go deep into this part, please?
Sure. When we first started, even just solving the transcription piece itself was very difficult because off-the-shelf models are not going to be really, really accurate, right? You might get 70% accuracy, 75% accuracy. And you have to consider multiple factors, right? One is, what is the quality of the audio? What is the rate at which a person talks? Is there background noise? Are people talking over each other? Are they using industry-specific words that are unique to your sector, right? It's very different what a tech startup will talk about versus a construction company, right? Or a real estate company. So how do you build that sort of domain skill set in those areas? Then you also look at, okay, how can we start working on costs? Because transcription is extremely expensive when we first started. And, you know, luckily we were able to bet that one, over time, the cost will go down and the accuracy will go up and we will have better models that we can work with. So while I can't get too deep into the type of models and things that we can do, but there's also really good feedback learning that we can do. Every time a user is able to correct something in a transcript, we can give that as a signal to the system to improve. So that's also a great starting point for improving what the end output was. So great. You solved the transcription piece to an extent, right? You go from like 75 to now, to be honest, 90, 95%. If you are speaking with someone in English, it's usually 90% or above, and it can get unique nouns and words that you use within your industry. So that was the starting point. From there, we said, okay, well, a 10-page transcript is not going to do me any good about a meeting. So how do we give people value on top of those transcripts as well, right? So here we decided to look at how can we essentially dissect a transcript and provide insight. So there's a lot of UI magic that goes on as well, where you can click a button inside Fireflies and see all the questions that were asked. You can click a button and a classifier will detect all the potential tasks that were said during a meeting. You can click a button and see what were all the discussions related to pricing, right? So that's like one of the things that we built was how do we start classifying different things within the transcript? It's obviously intensive, right? Because you're going through every single sentence and trying to classify it. Like that, we built different classifiers. Sentiment was another classifier that we built so that we can identify positive sentiment on a call, negative sentiment on a call, et cetera. And we also said we need to make this customizable so that it's not just our AI filters, but we should allow users to have their own filters that they can also utilize, right? So people can go in and say, hey, this was a sales call. We're going to be talking about objections, or we're going to be talking about competitors. So they can go put in and create their own topic trackers with all the competitors. And Fireflies would be able to go in and find that and identify what those are and surface them. So really, the UI magic is taking all this powerful tech, right? ML, NLP, classification stuff under the hood and being able to surface that with one click. So that, I think, was really a breakthrough for us because now you're not having to have end users who don't know about AI. They don't have to worry about all that. All they have to do is I press a button and magic happens and I can review a 1-hour meeting in 5 minutes. It's like I press a button and an Uber arrives, or I press a button and then I get food delivered. It's the same way. So I press a button and I can go through a meeting in for a 1-hour meeting in 5 minutes. So that was something that we were very excited about. And now, right, we're entering this new wave, which is, you know, some people call it generative AI or these large language learning models. So everything you see with ChatGPT and the things that OpenAI has done, how do we bring that level of technology into Firefly? So it's almost like version 3.0, you can say. And we're right at the cusp of working on some very exciting stuff with that tech.
Yeah. Before we enter in this new exciting stuff that you're going to launch, well, if you can talk about it, I would like to ask some questions about like the difficulties of the models right now. So you said that you have around 90% on English, but this performance downgrades when you have like an accent. Like for me, I'm Brazilian. Is there any downgrade for a Brazilian accent because like my English is not perfect?
No, that's a good question. What we've also done over time is be able to feed in data on top of the baseline models to do certain levels of correction for different accents. So if we have a lot of data around like the Indian accent, how do we improve and detect that? And the British accent or someone with an Australian accent. So accents, so there's a reason for why we spent so much time just on English, because there's many variations of English around the world. Yeah. So we had to work on that. In fact, this is being recorded by Firefly, so you can take a look at it. Yes, there will be some impact, right? Maybe instead of 90%, it's like 85% based on the thickness of the accent or how someone is speaking. But overall, these are the sort of things that like end users don't realize, because all of this stuff, this improvements, these fine tuning is happening under the hood. And if you have really good data and really tailored data, I almost think now we're entering a phase where it's not about the quantity of data, it's about the quality of data and the specificity of the data for your use cases. If you have that, you're going to be in a really strong position to do these sort of things. So yeah, so for us, we do address accents. In fact, just a few weeks ago, we announced foreign language transcription for several different languages. That's in beta. And obviously, those are not going to be as good as English right now, but over time, that's the goal, that we get them as accurate. So we have Spanish, French, Brazilian, like Portuguese, obviously. So we have a lot of different ones that are coming out, Dutch as well. So our goal is to have about 15 or so more languages that we support. Yeah.
Cool. Well, what you said about the data quality, I totally agree. And this is how ChatGPT is working right now so well, because it's basically a GPT-3, like with less parameters, but with much more powerful and quality data trained in different ways. So it is working much better. And also the UI that you said, well, it's super hard for someone to make a call on an API, even though the algorithm behind this API is the same. But if you build this easy application like ChatGPT, where you can just ask your question, and this question is triggering the API before or behind it, it's much easier. So, well, nice job around it. And I do have some other questions regarding the quality of the model. Because, well, of course, fine-tuning is always better. So once you deploy a model for a client, do you do like a monitoring and a self-supervised learning or any kind of learning for this specific client? Or you use the same model for every client?
So we have a lot of customers that are both, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of instances of Fireflies, right? So tailoring for every person is something we would only do at the enterprise level. But for the regular users, we have a general model. And over many years of iterations, that proves to be good. Like, I think fine-tuned models for a particular org, a particular customer, is something that requires a lot to just get off the ground. And especially for the type of price point we're offering for a product like this, right? It's $10, $20 per month per user. We had to build it so that just the baseline model itself was really, really good. And we have looked at some other companies, other providers, other vendors that we've worked with, because, like, you know, I think transcription as a whole was moving forward in a good pace. And there's many folks that we decided, do we build, do we partner, do we do a combination of both like we do today? So we've looked at those things. And some of these ASR or transcription vendors would say, hey, we'll help you fine tune it for a particular customer. But in reality, the time it takes to deploy that, train that, is just extremely painful. And we said, no, that would not be feasible for the type of customers we are catering to. So we focus more on building a really strong general model. And then based on that, having a user feedback or data loop there, so that ultimately, whatever corrections, whatever things you are making as an end user for your org or your domain, that helps improve Fireflies for your particular company. So I almost think of it as like a personalization problem. Yeah. So if you think about the Facebook newsfeed or your Instagram newsfeed, your newsfeed is fundamentally going to be different based on your interests versus my interests, right? And that is something that they've done really well, looking at all the things that you like to engage with. In the same way, we're doing that for transcription for your organization versus other individuals and other organizations. So yes, it is fine tuning, but I don't think of it as like, okay, we need to like manually upload new data, custom things. That's not something I see as like a bottleneck now, because the technology is so good. But if we had to live in that older world, it would be so expensive, so slow to deploy, and we would not be able to move as fast as we are moving today. And I think this is going to be a big wake-up call for a lot of enterprises, right? Because some of this technology that they felt was only possible if they have state-of-the-art like systems, really expensive GPUs, and all the things that they thought that could only be done by larger organizations can be now be done by a few engineers, right? So it's really about who is going to be the quickest and most agile that are going to be able to do this. One of the examples that I saw recently online, which was mind-blowing, was, if you're familiar, a few years ago, Google announced Duplex, where this AI voice bot call up a restaurant and make reservations for you. They demoed this about a few years ago, right? That was super powerful, right? Like, to have a bot like say, hey, I'd like to make a reservation for this time. Is this available? And make it happen. And that is really cool tech. And I'm like, there's no way that someone could make that very easily, right? But recently in a demo hackathon, someone was able to use OpenAI and some off-the-shelf stuff and do what maybe hundreds of PhDs were able to help build with just a few, you know, college students and young engineers that were able to do it. That's how fast we're moving. People are not going to be able to realize in the middle term or long term how much of an impact AI is going to have. Like Sam Altman said this, that what we think is like impossible right now is going to be like very feasible in the near future, but we don't need to overhype it right now. But like in the next 4 or 5 years, we may not even be able to predict how fast and how far along this technology is going to be.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree myself, because like till the moment, like till last year, we were going for like classification, detection, and this kind of tasks. With generative AI, everything gonna change, because there are a lot of applications that are like, you need to think to do it, like talk to someone. This is crazy how things are evolving right now. And I would like to know now, like, how are you integrating with ChatGPT and these new technologies of generative AI? Because as you said before, you were doing more of the first part where you transcript and you build, you get some insights from it. But now generative AI is a completely different level.
Generative AI flips the entire system on its head, because things that you can do today that people thought, oh, I have to build manual natural language processing rules, or I have to feed in all of this other sort of data. Like, I can build a classifier in 5 minutes using GPT, which is insane, with 5 to 10 examples, not 5 million examples. That is the magnitude of difference that it, and it works really well. It's able to explain itself. You can correct it. So I think even just for the democratization of AI, not just for end users, but for developers, what does this mean? What does it mean for all those companies that have raised tens of hundreds of millions of dollars, having PhDs and ML engineers saying, we're going to build this really fine-tuned proprietary model for X? Now, it's not about the model, right? I think it's still going to be about the data, the quality of the data, and the companies that have the data. But what can you actually do with it? And it's going to be about who's going to be the most creative. So maybe prompt engineering is the next phase, where it's about how you think about really smart problem-solving issues for the technology you're working with. So I think that's something that is very much more viable than like, okay, I need to have a PhD and I need to do these sort of things. And it's because these tools are being made accessible. Like, I'm sure if you go to a web developer and like tell them to code in binary or understand bits and bytes and all that stuff, they wouldn't. But they can go build a web application or like a, you know, a very quickly a simple web app or a mobile app. That's what I think OpenAI and all of this work is doing from a AI perspective, where it's changing the model on its head. So I'll get into some of the stuff we're doing. We're very fortunate to be able to work with some of the resources and toolings from OpenAI. We had early access well before even the general public knew of ChatGPT. We had some early access because our investors also happen to be investors in OpenAI. So we got in early beta access to some of their earliest models. And we've been able to work around and say, okay, well, we have large sums of text data, which are transcripts. So even if I look at my own meetings, I have, you know, hundreds of thousands of meetings for my entire team over the past couple of years. How can I get more value out of that? So we started with one, how do we improve our overall summary capability with the GPT tech? So we started with that. And now, instead of having a summary where it's just pulling out sentences, right, from a meeting, it's able to actually paraphrase the summary in the style that I write my notes. So it's able to look at how I write my notes, and then it's able to summarize in a few paragraphs in its own words. Rather than just extractive, it's abstractive, which is very, very powerful. So that's one application of OpenAI and ChatGPT that we've already deployed to all of our customers today.
And that's only going to get better. What about the training of these models? Because like GPT and ChatGPT, it works by itself. But how do you like, how do you fine tune or how do you train this model to do exactly what you want? Like what kind of data do you need?
That is probably a lot more of prompt engineering and asking the system nicely and giving it smart examples. And there are things that we've discovered over the last 3 months in terms of even just how you get the system to do the things that you want it to do and give it the examples that you care about, and also making it dynamic because not everyone's requests are going to be the same, right? So the number one thing is customizing what the query is that you're asking the system. And then there's also a lot of other layers, right? Most people know of ChatGPT, but there's like other like layers to the engine that you have. So when you look at the APIs, you can experiment with temperature, you can experiment with word count. So there's a lot of that you can also do. You can also even take this technology and take an output that ChatGPT or GPT-3 ran and run it again on itself. So you can have AI reflect on its own outputs, right? That's another thing you can do.
And it's which is really meta. It changes the output when you give its answer to itself. Like I was doing some homework with this and I saw that the answer was wrong. And I said, why did you give me this answer? And then it explained with the right answer. It was like crazy.
Yeah. So there's obviously times where it will start hallucinating and doing things or making up answers. So we're trying to keep it very objective in terms of what it can do. Yeah. But one of the other features or products that we're releasing very soon here at Fireflies is called Ask Fred. And instead of just having Fred join your meetings, like the AI note taker, and take your notes and summarize it that you can look through, after a meeting, you can just ask Fred questions about what happened on the meeting. You can ask like, how many licenses did this customer want to purchase? Or even from our own meeting, like, you know, any questions like, how is Fireflies using generative AI? And what do you think are the biggest differences between generative AI and older versions of AI? And so it'll go into that transcript, read everything, understand it, and give me back an answer. So you can now talk to Fred. And that's like bringing ChatGPT to meetings. Obviously, it's on a whole new level of data set. It's not just based on what ChatGPT comes with, but all the data that we have, right? So, and then we had to train it, make sure it gives the right responses, the right length, don't want it too long, don't want it too short. And when it doesn't know, to make sure that it doesn't give you the wrong answer. So it's been a continuous process of iterating. But I think meeting summaries and answering questions are going to help people very quickly get up to speed on their conversations. And beyond that, we're going to have Ask Fred do more than just answer your questions. So I can have Fred after this meeting write up a thank you email for you, right? Based on what we talked about. I can have it come up with 5 blog ideas based on what was discussed in this podcast. I can also have it pull out quotes from this conversation we had that I can use for social media. I can have it write a Twitter thread based on the contents of this meeting. So now you realize, right, like with the use cases, even just with meeting transcription data, we're able to help people complete work. Because this is what people do today. They'll have a meeting, they'll have a discussion, they'll go back and they'll do some work, whether it's creative work, administrative work, whatever it is. And now we're gonna have Fred, for lack of better words, help you do these tasks or assist you with them, so that it's, you know, a push of a button rather than you having to go do it yourself.
Yeah. And for me, what's crazy is that we're going to have many threads in different sectors. And ChatGPT is just the first version of this huge conversational AI model. Of course, we have GPT-3, GPT-2, we have Lambda from Google. Also Facebook, they have their model. But like, this is the first time that it works super well and people are coming into it. So like now investors, they want everybody to use ChatGPT. Investors, they want Google, they want Facebook, they want all of these companies to develop their own ChatGPT, Microsoft also. Actually, right. Microsoft, they bought OpenAI, so they already have their own. So like, this is crazy how the first model is already changing the world. And it's just the first one, right? Like, I cannot even imagine what we're going to have in the end of the year. My thoughts is that we're going to have a multimodal ChatGPT by the end of the year. I don't know what you think about it. But like, a multimodal ChatGPT going to be crazy.
Do you think there's going to be multiple companies that are going to be doing this? Is that what you feel like would be the approach?
What?
Do you feel like there's going to be multiple versions of ChatGPT that other companies are going to deploy this sort of technology? Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, first we're going to have multiple versions, like one specific to like transcription of meetings, one specific to medicine, one specific for like construction, as you said. And we're going to have different chat companies having their own ChatGPT. Like Facebook, they're not going to build just a different ChatGPT from this one. They're going to build their own with their data. Google, they're going to do the same. So for me, there are these two parts that are going to be crazy. And I think in the last one, we're going to have an open source ChatGPT.
Yeah, so there was a GPT-J, which was open source, but maybe not trained on as much data or as good as GPT-3 today. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I definitely think Google has tons of data. They have tons of money. They have lots of resources.
Yeah.
And so they can build their own version. I'm sure it's coming very soon, and it's going to be really good. Yeah, in fact, they also, just recently, they invested in an OpenAI competitor or ChatGPT competitor called Anthropic.
Yeah.
And they invested $300 million in Anthropic, which is trying to do a better version of ChatGPT with their own models, own version, right? I'm sure Facebook has this sort of technology that they've been working on for some time. A lot of these companies are going to get into the mix. It's not just going to be like when we had AWS, right? You had Google Cloud, you had Azure. So you're going to have all of these sort of companies come into the mix. And I wonder, for the developer company, who will have a very open source version, right? Because when you do have that open source version, absolutely, you're going to have custom use cases and things built that are going to be insane. Like, you can't even imagine all the variations you're going to have of this stuff, right? Where you're not just using their API, but like, you can take a branch of it, you can fork it, you can do some cool stuff with it, and you can build some tailored things with that. So it's also worth considering, how powerful is this technology and could it get out of control? And, you know, one of the things OpenAI recently released was the ability to check if it was generated by AI, like, is the content generated by AI? So they have a content generator, a checker that they built, because plagiarism could be an issue, or people in classrooms using this stuff. And how do you detect what was AI generated versus real? So that's very, 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 like, I think the whole implications of this are so big. It goes beyond just the technology. It goes into like governance, ethics. There's so much of that. Like, there was some company that came out which built this amazing model that can clone voices, right? And people were using it for bad purposes, right? Even like deepfake technology. Like, I think just as this technology gets so good, I wonder like what sort of limits are going to be put on it, or what sort of tools will need to be built to counteract and say, this is fake or this is real, right? So,
yeah, the thing is the UI behind everything, because deepfake is a huge technology and it already works, but people don't use it because there is no UI that you can easily click and have your own deepfake. So this is actually good. But on ChatGPT and also on Fireflies, you are doing good UI so people can use it, and this is nice.
Yeah, I think that even some of the companies like that, there was this huge influx of companies that said, we're going to help you do copywriting, right? So there's a couple different companies that were doing copywriting as a service where they were building just a UI layer on top of GPT, right? And that alone was enough for them to get the ball started. And now you realize UI plays an important role in making it easy access to everyone, right? Like, if UI wasn't that big of a deal, why would Dropbox exist, right? Dropbox exists because S3 storage was always there. In fact, Dropbox used like storage from, like, I believe AWS for the longest time, but they built an excellent user interface, user experience. And obviously we're able to charge more for it. So I think, yeah, you might see these, I don't like to use the word wrappers, but initially there'll be a lot of wrapper type stuff, technologies. And then over time, you're going to have actual products that are built from the ground up, rebuilt from the ground up, where generative AI and GPT is like at the core of what you do.
Yeah. Well, and coming back from Fireflies, I would like to know what you're seeking for the future, like new applications, just more integrations with generative AI, not just because it's already a lot, but I would like to know your thoughts about the future of speech to text and also generative AI regarding this.
At our company, we want to incorporate generative AI into every one of our products and features. And if it means that people can get work done faster and not do repetitive things, we would want to power them to use generative AI. So one of our features, I'll give you an example, is you can go into a meeting, go to a part where there was a 30-second soundbite of something that was important, and then highlight it and create a soundbite, like a clip or a snippet that you can share with your team afterwards. Let's say we had this meeting and then this customer said this really important feedback. I don't want my team to go back and review the entire meeting. I'm just going to go manually highlight that 30-second clip and then copy that link and share the link to that 30-second clip, right? This is snippets. We call it sound bites. So with generative AI, could I just ask Fred, hey, go to all the parts of the meetings where we're discussing X topic and create a sound bite? Or go to all the parts where there were customer feedback or feature requests that were said and go create sound bites. Now you notice how we're going to be able to use generative AI to automate something I would have to go do manually, right?
Yeah.
So those are the sort of things that we're thinking about. These are the things that we want to be able to do. I also think with generative AI, we can offer more customization because everyone is going to get some sort of summary, but ultimately there is no perfect summary because a summary is very personal to you. So instead of us trying to go crack our heads open and say, okay, how do we build a perfect summary? What if we say like, hey, we think this is a good summary. You tell us what you want to know and customize the summary you want to see. And maybe the summary you want for a sales meeting is very different from a recruiting interview versus a internal product meeting, right? So we want to democratize that. And I use that word a lot here, but the idea is we want to give power to users to customize because I'm not going to be able to know what's in your head and make you automatically happy. But if I can at least give you the tools to say like, hey, take what you want at this buffet, you're going to have a good experience.
Yeah. And are you going towards also a multimodal understanding? Because today you only use audio. Are you willing to go also for video? Because like in this case, you could make a YouTube shorts from every video on YouTube.
Yeah, this is very, very in line with some of the things that we are doing. These are some research projects we have where today Fireflies, we support audio, video, and transcription. We've started doing video capture earlier, but people also upload their podcasts, right? And then do all these sort of things. For example, I listened to the All In podcast. There was a podcast from a few weeks ago that I really liked. I actually tweeted about this. I just threw the audio file into Fireflies, had Fireflies transcribe it. And then I asked it questions about like what each of the speakers said, like what are David's thoughts on building a UI for ChatGPT? And it would pull out that information and share that with me, right? So I can jog my memory about a podcast. Like, that's a good example of it. I think ultimately any sort of conversation that happens over audio, video, and even text is where Fireflies will play a big part in the future.
Yeah. And also for podcasters, this could be like infinity content. You have one conversation, you have infinity content from this conversation and all the other conversations being generated by AI. And if you can integrate by generative video, which is something that I think we're going to have by the end of the year, this is like crazy. You can generate yourself talking about a subject that you already did. Like for me, right. The possibilities are huge, huge.
Let me give you an example, right? Google released Google LM, which helps you make music, right? You can just give a text caption of what you want. I can say, I want to make a really peppy song with this sort of beat, and it will generate that music instrumental for you, right?
Yeah.
So imagine, and it can also, I think, do voices to a certain extent. And imagine if I'm able to use GPT to write lyrics for a song, use Google LM to create the music, and then use a voice cloning tool to clone my voice singing or anything like that. Yeah. And I can put all these technologies together, and I've just made AI generated music using lyrics and stuff from AI generated content. So there you go. Like, that's just an example of a thing that you can
do. And in theory, you just use like three different APIs and that's it. You don't even need to have a PhD, as you said. Normal people, they are able to build this kind of stuff right now, which for me is really amazing. Because before, this was only for research people. Now everything is getting democratized to everybody to use. I think this is super nice.
Yes, I think it's like when the internet boom happened in the early 2000s, or when the iPhone came out and everyone started building apps. I think this is going to be 5x more than that, because the sheer level of things that you can have a system do. Imagine kids of future generations, where how they're going to be able to interact with tools like ChatGPT and AI, right? I'm sure like our grandparents didn't think that we would have something in our pocket that could answer any question, right? Google search, iPhone, all of those things, right? Like in the palm of our hands, we have it can answer any question you have in the world. Now, imagine what it's going to look like 10, 20 years from now, right? It was only about 20 years ago that we didn't have the iPhone, right? So imagine 10, 20 years from now, what's going to happen with AI, and everyone has AI on their phone that they can talk to get things done.
I think 20 years from now is like impossible to think. But for me, what is crazy is that like 2 years ago, nothing of this was possible. Like, we were so far from where we are today 2 years ago. And imagine how will we be 2 years from now. I cannot
It's worth saying, like, I mean, this technology and this research doesn't happen in a vacuum. There have been many companies that have been working on it. But I think one thing OpenAI has gotten done really well is they've been able to package the technology. And they also were able to take this belief that if I train it on tons and tons of data, right, lots of billions of parameters, I'm going to have something viable. And I'm sure even they didn't imagine how it would be uptaken by end users, right? It's not always about the technology, but it's also about the human implication. And that's where they kind of cracked the code, which is very, I'm sure like there are some PhDs a few years ago that thought that could be possible, but maybe they were more worried about what it can do versus what it can do, right? Yeah. Even today, there are limitations to what ChatGPT can do. But I think people are accepting of that, because when it is brilliant, it's magnificent.
And when it is bad, it's super, super bad. Like deepfake, apply it to bad stuff.
That's true. So hopefully, I mean, that's always going to be a double-edged sword, but that's why it's going to be very important to guide AI in doing the things that you want it to do and giving clear, concise instructions.
Yeah. Well, so thanks a lot, Chris. It was like super nice as episode. Do you have anything less to say before I ask the last question of the episode?
Right. For us, like, we're right in the thick of things here at Fireflies, and we will be launching our Ask Fred and ChatGPT features very, very soon in the next couple of weeks or even sooner. So we would love for people to check out our beta, play around with it. And if you're not already using our Fireflies AI note taker for your meetings, we'd love for everyone to be more productive with their meetings and have Fireflies take notes for them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to put the link of Fireflies. I put the link for your LinkedIn also if people want to reach out. Maybe can I put it?
Wonderful. That sounds great.
So if anybody wants to go there and take a look, it's going to be nice. I'm personally going to take a look too, because like I quite kind of need this kind of technology, because sometimes ago I tried to transcribe my podcast, because I do this podcast in English and in Portuguese. Like, I have two versions of the podcast and I record it twice. So I was trying to, what if I transcribe from Portuguese to English and then I use generative AI to generate my own voice? It didn't work.
Yeah. But maybe I think someone can do that. I think there was a company that's actually working on for cinema where they do dubbing, right? And they're able to, for example, have me dub my lips to speak in Portuguese voice, same tone. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, maybe I can try. Well,
anyways. I'm sure there's some technology out there that will come soon, like where you can feed a clip in English and deep fake it to speak in Spanish or Portuguese. Yeah. Yeah. With the same intonation. we're in for a loop. Let me just say that.
Yes. Well, so now for the last question of the episode, it is, if you have something to tell people, like about life, about anything that you want to say, what would you say?
I think consistency is the most important thing in life, whatever you're doing, whether it is with your relationships or whether it is with working on a business, whether it's with friendships. A lot of times, great things don't happen overnight, and it requires consistency and continual effort. It's only when you're able to overcome that wall that's in front of you where things start to get better. So for us at Fireflies, it was a 5-6 year journey where the first 2 years were we were walking through a desert without a map and not knowing what to do, where to get, and not much guidance, right? So you have to be almost a little bit crazy and consistent in what you believe to see that it's going to happen. So whatever you're going to take up, be consistent about it. I'm someone that if I feel like I want to do it, I have to be consistent about it. Otherwise, I don't want to even do it at all. Yeah. So that's the most important thing that I can at least share from my own personal experiences. Ooh,
consistency. Well, thanks a lot for the episode. Like for me, it was super nice to talk to you. And I hope that people also enjoyed the episode. Well, guys, go check Fireflies. I'm going to put the link here on the description of the episode. Also, don't forget to follow the podcast on social media. On Instagram, we are podcast.lifewithai. And on LinkedIn, it's Life with AI. And till next episode, guys, goodbye.